I think we might get started. Everyone. All right, well, welcome everyone. I know this is a shortened meeting, so we're just going to see one project today. As you all know, the meetings are recorded, and the audio file will be put on the website along with the meeting notes. And I'll send along the meeting notes to the team, as well as the lead reviewer. So today we're looking at 8000 Wisconsin Avenue, which is in the sketch plan phase, so it's earlier on in the project. We also have one member of the public. If there are any public comments, I'll ask for those right after the presentation from the applicant so that then the panel can take those into consideration. All right, so we'll begin. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Good morning. I'm Bob Dalrymple. I'm with Linos and Blocker. I'm land use counsel to the applicant who's Escoilu Properties. Carlos Montenegro is out in the hallway right now, but he's in-house counsel to Escoilu and is here on behalf of the applicant as well. Carlos, say hi. I just introduced
you.
Good morning. So we are happy to be here. I'll just ask our design team just to introduce themselves really quickly, and then I'll pick back up. So.
I am Federico Rivera Sada with SKNI Architecture.
Matt
Mike Goodman with VICA.
Andy Chikowski with SKNI Architecture.
So we're pleased to be before you here. As Laura indicated, we are pretty early on in the entitlement process. But never too early to receive feedback, especially on the architectural design, which is so important to all of the projects in Bethesda. And so thank you for taking the time to hear us this morning. This is a mid-block property, as you can see from the aerial that's up on the screen there. It's between Wisconsin and Woodmont Avenues, just south of Cordell Avenue and just north of St. Elmo Avenue. So there are challenges. Certainly, I'm recognizing challenges to a mid-block property as opposed to the corner pieces that I've had the pleasure to work on in other recent projects. So we'll talk a little bit about the challenges that produces, but also the opportunities. The property is about 43,000 square feet of gross tract area. And it does include, it's hard to see with that aerial, but about where the I and the T, the bottom of the I and the T are on site is a county parking lot, surface parking lot 43. And that was an important part of the, you cannot touch the screen, Fed A.
Yeah,
so
now you can see it.
Oh, sure. That's pretty good. Every mistake turns into a positive. So. Now you can see the parking lot. Several months ago, years ago, I guess now, the county did make a determination that this surface parking lot was surplus, was not needed in the overall context of public parking for downtown Bethesda, and they put the site out to an RFP. And Escoilu did respond to the RFP, having already secured a couple of the adjacent properties, and was the selected developer to acquire that site. And as opposed to some of the other public-private partnerships that we've seen in Bethesda and elsewhere where there is parking put back into the project, the county did not want public parking put back into this project. Instead, they wanted to cash out on the property and to take the money and apply it to other parking facilities elsewhere in downtown Bethesda. But as part of the RFP, there were some other public benefits that were mandated to be part of any proposal and are part of the winning proposal that is behind this project. And that primarily relates to affordable housing and some minimum requirements for the provision of affordable housing, which we'll tell you about in a minute, we have exceeded in terms of this proposed application. So the rest of the property is retail that will be replaced with this project. To the some of the challenges that we have here to the north of the property is 8008 Wisconsin is the Toll Brothers project, which has been approved and is under construction. The Toll Brothers is for it's about a little less than 160,000 square feet residential, 106 dwelling units, ground floor retail at 143 feet in height, and to the to bookending the site to the south is a larger parcel of about 57,000 square feet, which JBG is the developer, and they also have an approved project for about 440,000 square feet, which up until this morning we thought was about 450 dwelling units. We were told this morning they made a presentation to the Bethesda Chamber that they're looking at in the mid-300s for residential now, going with much larger rental units to try to capture a different market, I suppose. There's also ground floor retail for that project. There's one parcel just to the southeast of this. Betty, if you could point to the chocolate factory without touching the screen, that would be great.
this little rectangle?
Yeah. That's the holdout parcel on the block. They did not want to be acquired by either Escoilu or by JBG, and so that site will remain a small little retail site, which is, you know, part of the urban fabric. I mean, every successful downtown, you can always tell which property was the holdout when you're looking at the redevelopment. I think that's kind of the charm of a downtown area. But these two properties on either side of the site were approved before the latest downtown Bethesda sector plan. So they were approved under a different set of rules and regulations. There was not the level of scrutiny on design, and I'm not saying that they're bad designs by any stretch of the imagination, but they are different. They were not projects that were aiming to achieve the same set of guidelines, the design guidelines that are in place now. So it does make it a little bit more challenging when you're a property in the middle of that to achieve, you know, the synergy, I guess. But I think that we have a design that does accomplish that, and I hope that you'll agree as we go forward. So the proposal for this project, it's about 430,000 square feet of mixed use residential, with ground floor retail of about 20,000 square feet. The yield is targeted to be 441 dwelling units. I mentioned the MPDUs. 15% MPDUs is what the requirement is. This project is proposing 25% MPDUs, and there's a reason for that 25%. Once you get to 17.5% MPDUs, you can add some additional height to the project, and we thought a little bit more height here would be beneficial. Once you get to 25%, there's some other things that you can take into consideration, such as being exempted from some of the exactions, and it's a trade-off in terms of, you know, providing more affordable housing in return for making the project itself a little bit more affordable to construct. So this is one of the rare sites, I think, that we'll see coming in at that level of MPDUs. The height under the zone is 175 feet, but with two additional floors by virtue of the MPDUs, which the code allows, it'll take the project to 199 feet, I believe, is our targeted height. And so it'll be a statement piece, I think, for this part of the downtown. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Fede, who will give you a little bit more of the fun stuff. Good morning, Robert.
In your seat.
No.
Would you like to tell us all what you were doing to make you 10 minutes late for this meeting?
Sure.
that'll cost me.
They already did.
No design excellence points here.
So as Bob mentioned, this is an infill project. It's between two buildings that are on their way to being built. And there's a challenge, obviously. They were approved under all zoning, and we are in the middle of trying to create a seamless project, trying to be part of a bigger block. And as you can see, and I'm not going to touch the screen, the corner building here will end this, finish this block on this side. The JBG building, which is this big piece here, will pretty much do the majority of the block. Well, this building is It's already developed. It's probably from 89-ish. So this will be probably the only one block in the test that it will be all done. And it's a demonstration of the progression of the urban design in a way that were done in all three different phases or master plans, if you will. One down Woodman Triangle, the other one on previous zoning, and then now on this one under the new Bethesda design guidelines. So trying to marry all this, we came up with, I think, is a compromise that we struggled when we were designing the building, because following all the guidelines to the letter and the full intent of the guidelines will create an adverse effect, we feel, because the guidelines recommend setbacks and building stepbacks, which are pretty big, like 10 to 15 feet. And we agreed that that is a good policy to address streetscape urban relationship and human scale. And we are all on board, but the issue on Wisconsin Avenue, since these two buildings have no setbacks, once we set back, we're going to create two blank walls on each end, which we think is going to be very disruptive, and it's not going to create the... it's not going to fulfill the idea of finishing a block in our mind. So we took the approach of having this building as two different frontages, and on each frontage we'll address it in a different manner, but at the same time trying to create a project that is coherent and consistent in terms of design. So do I just need to roll the...
Yeah, roll.
Okay. Well, this is just for information purposes how our garage functions, but the idea is that we're going to have a garage entrance here, and we're going to circulate internally, and we're going to create different slab plates, because there's a great differential, so we're going to split the garage.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more later on, because we did receive some comments at Development Review Committee, DRC, yesterday morning that
are
going to cause
them.
Us to take another look at some of these design features. But,
so the idea is to create full frontage of retail and active uses on both sides, on those frontages. So that kind of the same approach on both sides of the project. But when you go to the frontages, we think that the most appropriate design for this building is connecting to the buildings that are on Wisconsin Avenue, trying to sort of create or enhance the existing buildings or the buildings that are under construction, trying to enhance their situation, because you see this building, their courtyard is very tiny, so we abut our building sort of in the same way, doubling their size, and on the other side, creating the opportunity for the building to sort of leave off this open space that our neighbor is proposing, and at the same time create a much bigger setback from the building. And you will see in the next... So if I go back and forth, what we're proposing on the one side is different from Woodman, as I mentioned. You see here, this pretty much stays the same, but then we create a setback on Woodman Avenue. And as you will see in the perspective, you'll see that we're using similar elements to address these setbacks, but they are slightly different in a way. The approaches are different. Well, then once we are over the height of this building, we set the building back to create window opportunities and avoid blank facades also. And at the same time, we keep butting against the building to have a consistent edge along Woodman Avenue. Then at the end, we have the roof, and we are trying to articulate the roof in a way that is part of the design too, creating opportunities, decks, outdoor spaces, and obviously green roof, and trying to set back mechanical equipment, so they're not, they don't have an adverse impact into the urban experience. So this section kind of shows the two different approaches from Woodmont and Wisconsin. On Woodmont, it's clear we think that the guidelines are appropriate, and I think it will create the effect that is intended. We create a sort of a the reading of, I would say, 3 to 4 to 5 story reading. Even though we have a very tall first floor, it will still equate to a 4-story, 5-story section of the building. And then we set back and we release the building from the face of the building to allow more pedestrian comfort. On Woodmont Avenue, our approach is, if we set back, we're gonna create an adverse effect. So the idea is to create something different, that it will recreate the idea of a setback, but at the same time anchoring the building on each side. So what we are proposing is, we are projecting the second and third floor, which is an element that you will see in the perspective that kind of goes from front to back. And then we recess the building and we taper the facade out, and then we bend it in. So it will be sort of a big plane that departs from the face of the building. So that's, I think, very hard to read. So I'm going to skip and go to the perspectives. But the idea is that we articulate the facades in a way that we don't create the appearance of a wide building. We want to emphasize the verticality of the project and create vertical breaks, so the proportions of the building are more manageable. So as you can see in this building, we have a series of vertical breaks and articulations in the facade that recreate this sort of slender proportion to the building that is, in this wide building, is really hard to achieve. So you're going to have windows. This building would have windows, and this is a very rough massing. But the idea is that we create a stepping from the lowest height on this building at the corner, and we create opportunities to create a more 3D building that has four-sided facades. And as you can see, this element is sort of a projecting box that also expresses what the interior functions of the buildings are. That most likely would be the amenities. And we want to express that in a different articulation, so you can also relate to the building and also use that building as a marquee, and maybe even a feature that distinguishes this building from others. This also creates the opportunity to set the building back, because we're projecting that box and pushing the facade back. And by peeling it, we create we exploit more the 3D aspect of the building and create the appearance that the building stands, is a freestanding building when you approach the site from Metro going down Woodmont. And the reason we do that is because, let me see if I go back a little bit. When you approach the site on Woodmont this way, there's going to be a big open space here, and there's a mid-block connection that connects Woodmont to Wisconsin being proposed by this building. So I think it's kind of the perfect setting for building sort of preside that open space and be a marker to sort of orient pedestrians as they walk down Woodmont, as an annunciator that there's an open space there and as a through-block connection. And again, we are using articulation in the building to define that base, middle, and top in various different ways, even changing materials, sending it back, or even peeling the facade on the top floors so there are further setbacks. So the building start bending from the base and then continues to bend over at the top 3-4 levels, so you create relief and articulation, so you don't depend on the cliche moves of crowning the building. You just articulate the building to define those parts of the building. As you can see here, that's the approach from Woodmont, from the downtown, from Metro. So the open space would be here, and the building looks like it's a corner building in the middle of the block. And you can see that the bend of the building continues to bend and kind of peel layers, so you sort of see the under layer of how the building facade is generated. You go to the simplest geometry as you go deeper into the layering system. On Wisconsin Avenue, and that's again we need to finesse this. There's a requirement for the building on the corner to allow pretty substantive setback to accommodate a BRT station, and even though we are our base setback is 5 feet beyond them, so we are setting back even more. We are allowing the same height in case we need that extra sidewalk depth for that BRT. If we don't need it, we're in the process of adjusting that. We're going to do some engineering to make sure that we allow the proper room for that BRT station on the existing corner, which is recommended to be. And then maybe this setback is less.
Let me just to make sure that everybody understands that. At DRC yesterday, we talked quite a bit about this, that the BRT functional plan requires there to be some additional dedications along Wisconsin Avenue for all properties for BRT. But at this particular location, it also identified that there would be a BRT bus station. And the functional plan indicates that that would be at the corner of Cordell and Wisconsin, and it provides some alternatives for the BRT station itself, but the urban alternative calls for about 65 feet necessary for there to be an additional 10 feet of dedication for the BRT. So where that 10 feet stops relative to the intersection of Cordell and Wisconsin is not exactly clear. Does it stop still on the Toll Brothers property, or does it extend into this site so that there would be some additional dedication or surface easement, as the case might be, for this property? So what FedE's communicating is that to the extent that we are required to provide surface rights beyond the typical BRT dedication, that there is an allowance, I think, that's coming through to allow for there to be some overhang of buildings with 15 feet of clearance between the surface and the building area. So that issue has not been completely run through the wash cycle. So whether we are going to be required to provide some surface easement there or not will dictate exactly how the frontage of this property will end up being treated architecturally, and we'll probably know that more at site plan.
The building, for the first setback floor requirement is based on line with this element. So whatever we do, depending on where the final location of the BRT.
Yeah, we don't think that this site should be impacted by that BRT bus station. But I just wanted to point out to you that it's still a pending issue that needs to be resolved. Sorry, Fede.
So, as you can see, as a pedestrian experience, you still experience a setback, but it's not an illusion. It's a true setback, but it's not as deep as it is on Woodmont. And the way that the building comes out minimizes the impact of that setback on each. So
So what we wanted to create here is contain the two edges of the building on the Toll Brothers side, on the JBG side. We do have a minor setback to allow that room for that bay to move out and in, but we're minimizing that impact and projecting the plane in a very gentle outward slope, and then we're going to bend it back. And we're taking cues from the buildings on each side, whether that bend occurs, and we're trying to sort of relate to this building in a sort of a stepping way. So you will see, and then this building has a very tall element in the middle of the block, so we're going to try to relate this element, this section, with that element, and at the same time engage the what's happening on the roof and express that without putting a trellis or the typical building crowning that you will see all around. And we understand the proportions of the building, and we can see that could be an issue. That's why we purposely broke that plane with this element, which is sort of a frame that kind of pokes through the entire development from front to back, and creating more vertical proportions and more in relationship with the buildings that are to each side of it. And I prepared an exhibit.
How wide is that elevation overall?
It's 152 feet.
So with these diagrams, we wanted to show what was the thinking behind how we constructed those elevations. So in this side, what we wanted to do is, first of all, address these kind of chunky, chubby proportions that the facade has by breaking the building into elements that create more slenderness and relates to the buildings in similar proportions. So the idea of this element, that you will read it because that plane is being cut out from that sort of a tube that penetrates the facade, creating two sort of similar elements. This proportion is sort of similar, even though this is a little bit wider, but it sort of relates to it. We don't want to be like a UFO that landed here. So we want to relate to the buildings that are next. The same thing happens here. This building, the first two elements are sort of equal in proportion. This has a little bit more verticality because it's the main element. But the idea is that this element relates to that and relates to that. And you can see how, I mean, what we're trying to, how we try to connect the two heights of the building on either end. And you know, Woodman Avenue, we use kind of the same elements to create those breaks and address proportion issues that we see that the size of the building may generate visually. So again, trying to create similar proportions in terms of widths, and again creating an escalating process of the facade to relate to the two different heights. And then, again, that layering of the building, this layering, it creates that vertical gap that also breaks the facade in more slender sections. And these are some elements that we think are relevant, or moves, or things that we like that sort of are sort of background images in our mind when we were thinking of this project.
So, Teddy, can we go back to the plan view? One of the other comments that we received at DRC yesterday related to the access to this project from Woodmont Avenue. As you can see right now, both the garage ingress, egress, and the loading is on the northern portion of the property immediately adjacent to the Toll Brothers site. What we've been asked to look at is to relocate at least the garage access to the southern portion of the site up against the 7900 Wisconsin in order to move the point of ingress and egress away from the intersection of Woodmont and Cordell. There's and I think that we see the point being raised there, and so we need to study that further. But there's whether the loading stays on the northern end or shifts with the garage is still unclear. So we do have issues on both Wisconsin and Woodmont Avenue that still need to be addressed moving forward, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention because that will have some impacts at the ground plane in terms of what the design of the project will ultimately be. Is that it, Fede? So that's the project at sketch plan. Again, there's a long way to go, but we'd be very interested in receiving your feedback.
I just got here. I apologize for being late. Curious to see how it goes.
Okay, so we're concerned with the massing overall on this block, particularly on this half diameter side, which is just one straight facade of towering buildings. That concerns the community, particularly the lack of open space. There's nothing. We're relying on storefronts here to be interesting, but it would be nice to have some open space. So we find this kind of overpowering as a block of just tall buildings. And with that, while we applaud the affordable housing, we know that eliminates the need for parking payment, and it's kind of a shame, therefore, not to have any open space along here, a public open space. From what I can see, when I saw the plans online, much of the space that appears to be open is not available to the public within this whole block. We, given those comments and the situation described with the space that may be necessary for BRT, I think we can assume safely that we would object to an even larger building here. So. Those are my comments. I'm Vice President of CBAR, and I'm here in that capacity.
Does the additional setback of the building count towards some of the public space? I mean, this building setback further right at the ground level on Wisconsin.
There is no public space requirement.
And also just for context, the 7900 Wisconsin Avenue, that entire the triangular piece from the chocolate shop is public open space that connects all the way through underneath the bar along Wisconsin Avenue. So there's a very significant public space just to the south.
I would just like to note though that the facades along Wisconsin, there's nothing that really is public space there, unless you consider the cut through, which is.
The cut through is fairly. The cut through is probably 30 feet. I mean, the area between the curved facade and sort of the foot of the piece along on 7900 is probably 25, 30 feet. I mean, I understand that we can have a different idea about whether that's big or not, but that's approximately the scale.
So the parking is adjacent mm-hmm. to the company goes away. That becomes an open space.
Correct.
And it passes to
all the way through, right?
Right.
I think it's unfortunate that you have
the
elevations of the abutting properties and put them in your perspectives, etc., to give us the arguments of massing and frame and how big windows are, where the controlling lines are on the two adjacent properties, and also in terms of, I think, a very good idea to they have developed plans for that public open space to show its relationship to your building and the chocolate cetera, as well as the passageway through. I mean, you want to sell this. Mm-hmm. I think you owe yourself those elements that are actually part of the public view. Mm-hmm. Those buildings are being built. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they have the elevations. Mm-hmm. They have the perspectives. They have all that stuff. And why not put that on to your presentation to further your arguments?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just showed up, so I apologize for this. So the public open space is not related to this site, right?
Right.
And how do we know that parking lot is going to be public space for certain? Have we purchased it?
It is public open space per the approved project that's under construction right now.
Okay, so that's someone else's.
Correct.
Someone else gets to claim that this project is not.
Well, I mean, it is being provided by the project to the south. But it's public. There'll be public access.
And how big is it going to be?
It is. I mean, if you look, I mean, it's. Fetty, can you go back to the? It's that entire area.
And
it goes all the way through.
And under the building.
And there are cool sort of grass.
20 some feet tall space.
And there's sort of art underneath the overpass, and then there are. These sort of cool grass turf pyramids that occupy the center of the space.
And that's approved and done and all that?
Yeah, it's under control. The hole is
okay,
there
that's
now.
Where
yeah.
the big hole is right now.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it's important, again, I'm going back to the master plan. The master plan called for public parks in certain locations. This was not one of the blocks that called for a public park. The block to the south does call for a public park, the extension of Veterans Park. And so, again, I would just say that I guess I'm going to defer to Elza and others that if there is not a open space requirement in this zone, and if the master plan doesn't say this is a block where we want a public park, it's hard to say this building should have a major public open space because neither the master plan nor the zone requires it. But what I am interested in, and I came in late too, is how does the building conform to the design guidelines? Because it does not appear to have the step backs that the design guidelines call for. And that, again, on sort of additional new buildings was sort of a critical issue. So did I miss that at the beginning? Is there a step back?
A step back on the wooden
on
side.
On the wooden side, because
trying to change it. Wisconsin side.
On the Wisconsin side, we have two approved buildings under old zoning that are not setback required. Once we set back, we're going to create an adverse impact. We're going to relieve the buildings and have two blank facades for the entire height of the building. So we are trying to mitigate that and at the same time create the setback. So it's a really fine line that we are treading to achieve their goals and at the same time not create an adverse impact.
So I did look at the on the web to try to see what the two adjacent parcels are. The one to the south on its northern elevation is pretty highly articulated.
The which one, sorry?
The 7900.
Yes.
Now, one of the questions that I do have is also the guidelines call for separation between properties. And, clearly there is no separation. That one of the things that will be the net result is the whole idea about the separations was to allow light through, view through, and quite frankly what you're doing is really filling up the entire block from the southern end of 7900 Wisconsin Avenue all the way up to the Cordell Avenue. And I guess I haven't heard any discussion about the fact that you're not providing a separation.
Well, in the approach, and that was part of the approach on Wisconsin Avenue, I think the building needs to be part of an infill project. Well, otherwise, if you set back from both sides, you create two even worse impact. You have two blank facades. Those two buildings will have zero windows on both sides.
Well, I don't really know what's on the southern end of 8008 Wisconsin Avenue. I do can see what's on the end of 7900 Wisconsin, and it's highly articulated. But again, the goal really is to provide light and air and views between properties, right? And not to create a long continuous shadow. You can still get the urban design characteristics by creating a podium that is the height of the podium to maintain the urban design issues. But you don't have the separation between the buildings that the guidelines really call for.
Well, I personally think that it's not appropriate in this location. It's appropriate on the other portion of the building.
But the guidelines are the guidelines.
But they're guidelines. They are not mandates. So they are guidelines.
And I
know
really
the renderings that are online of the building that JVG is building, they're showing this articulation with a balcony there. The balcony is going to be sandwiched in. And by code, you cannot put windows more than 5 feet away from the property line. So I think that that rendering is not the final design.
I do want to let you know what Chow Joy actually noted. She's not able to come, but she sent some comments in.
Okay.
She said that there is no setback from the adjacent building on the lower levels, something that wasn't mentioned. The narrative mentioned that there will be a 35% green coverage, but currently the plan does not seem to have enough green coverage.
Yes.
Also,
we addressed that at DRC as a mistake in the drawings.
Okay, great. The facade does not seem to serve as a landmark, as stated in the narrative. It lacks character. And last, understanding this project strives to provide 25% MPDUs and is not the Icon building as the Marriott headquarters. I think right now is headed in the right direction to achieve 20 points, but it's not there yet. So those were the comments, just so you know.
I think that this design guideline issue of separation needs to be resolved. But if I'm looking at the, I want to take it a different direction maybe, and maybe it can then solve some of these problems. But, you know, at the beginning of this discussion, you guys talked about how difficult this site is because it's a mid-block site. Urbanistically, I would suggest that this site is one of the most fun sites possible on this stretch of roads. You have St. Elmo's Street, which is a very highly used street coming from the Woodmont Triangle area, looking right on access to this building. You have Virginia Avenue to the east, terminating right dead center, or towards one edge of the center, into this building. And you've addressed the idea of looking at this building obliquely from Wisconsin and Woodmont in all the discussion, but not once did I hear anything about St. Elmo's or Virginia. And I think you are really missing a huge opportunity here if you actually look at this building from those two views, because they are very strong axes, they're important axes, and I think they could solve or help to solve some of the problems with setbacks, with the breakup of the delineation of the facades, of a lot of the things that I think are concerns and that you actually addressed. But I think if you took those two axes just to start with, you could really start to manipulate this building in a way that I think would help to solve all the problems that we're talking about. I think on the base, you also talked, just I'll continue a bunch of them. But the you also spent a lot of effort, I think, trying to break up the mass of essentially the shaft and the top of the building. And that's why I was asking the width, because it, you know, is this a huge width? I'm not so sure that it is a huge width. But when you have a base that goes the entire width of the building that is actually the same, the entire width of the building, I think that is a little bit too much. You know, that becomes blocky. That becomes what people are seeing from the east and the west as a monolithic element that I think is overpowering. And I think if there was less fragmentation of the top and more fragmentation of the bottom, it would help a great deal in the perception of how this building would be seen within the neighborhoods, particularly by the pedestrians, you know, particularly by the people that are coming on those two axes that I talked about.
Good point. Can you go to the floor that shows the H-shaped building that you're designing rather than the parking level? There. Why did you have a very large courtyard to the south and a very small acknowledgement of the courtyard of your neighbor to the north, which means are you trying to maximize the east and west apartments on that courtyard to the south,
yes,
and minimizing the ones on the north? Because, you know, by flipping your H, you could enlarge the courtyard to the north and maybe bring more light and air into that courtyard and be a better neighbor to your, you know, to your north. Because to the south, you have a much larger, you know, neighbor open space, etc. And that doesn't affect it. The other,
you could almost equalize.
You could almost equalize the
courtyards,
etc. Because I mean, the scheme essentially is an HA scheme. And sort of another reading would be, I really want to know what the corners of your neighbors are like, and why they have that reentrant piece to the south, and what that actually means in terms of the elevation and that gap, and how that can be addressed, and maybe there's a way that you can, you know, acknowledge that gap on your site, and you know, bring some light and air into that corner, etc., and break down.
When you talk about the corner, this corner?
Yeah, those corners. Yeah, I'd like to know what those reentrant pieces are architecturally of your neighbor.
That's what you're saying, it's not clear.
It's not clear.
It's not clear.
But, yeah.
By code, you cannot. I mean, you have a balcony. They need to put a wall, otherwise it's open to a property.
Yeah, but I have no idea what that is.
So
what is that void? Why did they make that cutout on Wisconsin Avenue? What is the nature of that corner that they've made?
It's like they tried to create a corner apartment.
Right.
With hopes that nobody would butt up against them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there is an easy answer to this.
Yeah.
No, we haven't talked about it yet. But I noticed that you're holding back on your... I won't touch, but you're holding back here against a relatively large open space, and I'm not quite sure why. I mean, I think Whitmont Avenue development overall is more successful in Wisconsin. Obviously, they've got more to work with, they've got open space. There's plenty of reasons why it's going to end up being different. I mean, I had the same thought about this, and you know, being selfish, sometimes fewer units on a smaller courtyard, yeah, and more on a larger,
right,
makes sense from a marketing standpoint.
Right.
And I'm not sure from an urban design standpoint we should care about that. That's their issue.
Yeah.
I mean, they're helping people to the north to a certain degree. But it's just an interesting thought. But, I mean, I do think that Woodmont is clearly broken up into two buildings, and the overall length of this piece of the project I don't think is a problem from a setback standpoint. And I think having setback at this point of the relatively narrow piece here doesn't make a lot of sense from an urban design standpoint. But I could easily see that this could be carried up further, and this could be cut back so that you begin to create two masses on Wisconsin Avenue, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And that might give us the setbacks we're looking at. It gets you more exposure here to something that's probably a pretty nice facade. Or could
well,
be nice.
Just for a reference, this is the property line, that's the existing chocolate factory.
I thought this was the chocolate factory.
No, this shaded area is the chocolate factory. So what we're doing is we're pushing the building so we can open windows and also create the effect of a corner building in the middle of a block. And to address your point, when you're coming down St. Elmo, you see dead center, that corner piece.
No, the other option is to figure out how we can perhaps set this back to a certain degree. I don't know where you regain that FAR.
I don't think the issue, to be honest, is not the FAR. I don't think it's going to be a better building by creating a space that no one can look into.
I mean, they're going to have a blank facade. Okay? So why put ourselves there to create something that is not going to look good?
But isn't the objective not to create this continuous wall that's gone 200 feet tall?
Well, there are different arguments. You go to Europe, you go to Spain, and you see Paseo de la Castellana, which has like 10 blocks that are consistent, and you love that. And I mean, the same argument here. I think we have the opportunity to create a seamless block. I think we should embrace it.
But then I could throw out, if you go to Toronto, they have real limitations on the size of the footprints, and they get very narrow towers.
Well, I prefer
so, I mean,
Spain.
So
they're 300 feet tall.
Yeah.
I appreciate, you know, my initial reaction to your presentation was that you're recognizing that this is a mid-block building. It needs to respond to the context the best it can to create a building that's not crying out, here's my tower. I agree with all of that. I think the subtlety of the setback on the Wisconsin Avenue facade is interesting, and I think it as it develops, I'm anxious to see how positive that can be. And the fact that you've chosen to align with the recessed portions, and that there are two tower forms, one on the north and one on the south, which should do a lot to enliven the full facade. Instead of just going straight up and being, you know, a typical building, you're trying to do something that is carving away the mass of the building in a way that can be very successful. So I'm not convinced that this can't be a good design, personally. I mean, I think its premise is very strong. Again, we wouldn't want to add it. You know, it's just the inclination of your facade deal directing to the open space. All of that makes a lot of sense. I think I agree that the continuous second through fourth floor,
right,
third
yes.
floor, along, and you did break. I mean, you do have part of your facade coming down. I understand.
On the Woodman side,
yeah,
not on,
yes,
yeah.
but not on
yeah,
the
Woodman
side.
Yeah, that's right. And
I think
that is a great
obsessive comment.
Yeah, I think that will probably happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I also really agree with moving the loading and to the south. I think that's infinitely more rational in terms of being a
well, there was a thinking behind where it is today, but I can see the point. Too close to the intersection,
yeah.
But we wanted to create, and this is going to be a beautiful space, to create a distraction and the disruption of the streetscape as far as we could.
But I
see the point.
There
yeah.
anyway, so it's already interrupted. Just for what it's worth. I'm not sure that I would be opposed personally to what I was presenting a few minutes ago of an additional space mid-block,
mm-hmm.
And I respect your response to that, but it might be an opportunity. Maybe it's not straight. Maybe there's other things. I also, on the other hand, understand from your design standpoint, your premise on how you're dealing with that. So that doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, no, but...
Well, the other element of this, of the vertical brick colored piece, was, I think it's very unfortunate that that terminates at all the loading parking entrances to the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that is the vertical element of the
on Woodmont.
Yeah, yeah, on the Woodmont side.
By moving the entrances,
that
could
help.
Would help.
That was an interesting question I had. Was how come you chose the address to be in Woodmont? The lobby is on.
That was an ownership decision. Based upon marketing rates.
The way, it's closer to
metro. Normally, you would expect
it
to
be.
Believe me, I know that.
It's a more tranquil environment for pedestrians to enter the building. We have the advantage of how the garage lays out. It's easier to place the core on that location.
Right. But now you're going to move all of that stuff.
No, but at least the vertical core is...
I think we need to... I have to say, I think we need... We haven't really wrestled the design guidelines issue to the ground yet. And I think we have to wrestle that issue to the ground because it is a issue I know the community is very concerned about. And, I don't want us to get into the smaller issues of where the... loading docks should be before we wrestle the bigger issue of the design guidelines to the ground. I feel like we sort of mentioned it, but then we went on.
Facade setback on Wisconsin primarily?
I think it's
a separation between properties.
Or separations between properties.
The setback issue, it seems to me, is I've heard this before. Obviously, we've heard this every single time, but there's a lot of people trying to avoid the setback. But I think on this site, doesn't the courtyard provide the flexibility to not have to push the Wisconsin facade back out, because you could take up that 10 feet in the courtyard?
Isn't Well, two things. Number one, Wisconsin is designated as an urban boulevard, right? And I think Wisconsin is a mixed-use street, right?
Yeah.
Right. And both of them do suggest a 10 to 15 foot setback on both Wisconsin as well as Widmont. We don't have anywhere near a 10 foot setback on Wisconsin above the podium, and you may have it in places on Widmont, but it's.
Yeah.
Neither the two buildings that are being constructed. So that's my whole point.
Well, I guess I was sort of wondering, because what I understand is that you've taken an approach on Woodmont of creating a sort of angled setback, because even if it's not a full 10 to 15 foot setback, you can do interesting things with the angle of a building. My understanding is this corner, it was set back the way it was because they actually expect to have windows or a balcony up to maybe that point. So is there a chance to do any kind of, I hear your point about not wanting to pull something back and having a blank 10 or 15 foot swath of the building nearby, but since this one, again, I haven't seen the design of this building, but I'm guessing they pulled this back because they actually do want to have some windows on this corner. Is there a way maybe to do what you're doing here, to do more of that here as well, even if it means having to push the courtyard slightly?
The orange there, is that the setback line? Or if you go to the section, I'm a little bit confused on the dashed lines, which is there. So what are we looking at as far as orange on the plan? Are we looking at the second, third floor?
Yes. Our 30-foot required setback is at this height. So we set back and then we come back out. So we're trying to minimize that impact. So
how much did you set back?
I think it's like
4'4".
3 to 4 feet, and then we come out. On the edges, it's constant, and then the centerpiece comes out slowly by 3 inches per foot,
so
per floor, and then it goes down.
Where, if you could just outline with your finger, where is the required setback as the guidelines now state? Where's the 30 feet? You said 30 feet. Where's the 30 feet from and to?
The 30 feet streetscape setback.
Okay.
So from the curb, from the curb, wherever that is, to this location.
That line.
So that's the streetscape, and this setback is what we're trying to do to accommodate the BRT.
Okay.
So that's a voluntary one, right?
A maybe.
Okay, all right. But still, if you take your line from the podium up, you don't really have a 10 to 15 foot setback there, right?
And is the podium at the 30 feet, or it's more than 30 feet?
No, this is at the 30 feet.
The podium's.
The second and third floors.
And that point here, the inflection point, is at the 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess you're bending the building vertically. I guess I'm wondering, could you, do what you've done on the Woodmont Avenue side and bend it, whatever that would be, north to south, not just vertically. So I think that was
affected
by the
Woodmont.
To what
purpose?
Well, the question is,
what design guidelines talk about?
Well, the building
elevations of your
pedestrian.
And
right.
Until we see those,
pedestrian
everything else is sort of an academic,
right.
Pulling masks as opposed to actually looking at.
So, in fact, can we even get that?
They have to be public record.
Actually, you can go on Google. You can go on Google and get the property to the south.
Yeah.
And you can, the one on the north, it's not quite as much information on, but you can see the one to the south.
They could pull the elevations from the publicly available information and put it in their perspectives.
Yeah, I would think that's necessary. Yeah, that's this whole idea about where you're having setbacks and not having setbacks, I think, will reveal themselves a little bit more obvious. You know, when we see those, and then this idea about corners of your buildings as opposed to the corners of the adjacent buildings can really maybe reveal an answer about, you know, passageways and freestanding quality. In other words, exposing those corners.
It may be
My recommendation would be, to be really honest with you, I think this building's highly articulated, and I congratulate you for doing that, attempting that, but the message is not quite right. If I were in your shoes right now, what I would do is I go back and do some real quick massing studies and make sure the massing is right, it's playing nice with the neighbors, it's relating to the neighbors, and come back and show it to us.
Yeah.
Don't go through a highly, don't necessarily develop another scheme that's highly articulated. Let's get the massing right.
Is
there
someone, just as a neighbor and speaking for myself since we don't have any change plans in front of us, I like the suggestion to turn the H around so that you have some openness from Virginia and St. Elmo so that it brings in the community. Right now it feels like the community is being walled out.
Yeah, I think the suggestion was to shift the middle bar.
The middle bar.
Not to rotate it 90 degrees,
but
to...
Or just mirror image. Or mirror image.
But
flip it, right.
What I would say is to have some focus towards the community...
Right.
Makes it more a part of the larger community, and I think may not necessarily affect the amount of FAR, but would make it more appealing visually.
What I was going to suggest is that it may be, given sort of where this is in the process, and I think Carl's points about, you know, having the facades on there to make sort of more informed decisions, is that you could come back in March, it wouldn't interrupt your sketch plan review, and because I think the comments are substantive in terms of the massing of the building, and so I think having another look at it with the context in place, I think you would have better guidance, more specific guidance than you're having today, and it's not, I think I suggested, it's not much more work to put the context into the drawings, take a look at some, based on that, some massing options, and come back in a month.
Tomorrow.
Well, March. I don't think they're meeting tomorrow.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah,
I'm just kidding.
But it's full right now. But would it affect your schedule of beginning?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I might have to say, when you say full, is it like literally 9 to 5?
9:30 to 12:30.
Well, maybe we'll feed everyone here lunch, and we can do a 1:30 to 2:30 session or something. I mean, it's full in
the
morning, but not in the afternoon, right? So we'll buy you all lunch.
There's just one other point that you should be aware of, which is that... I'd offer to buy
you
all
you
lunch, but I'd have to file a bunch of lobbying ethical reports. Our schedule is dictated somewhat by our agreement with the county relative to the acquisition of Lot 43, and we're already behind on that schedule. So there is a lot of pressure on us under the general development agreement with the county to keep this project moving. I say that only from the standpoint of, so that you're aware contractually we need to keep it moving. So I would, you know, like to try to address your comments as best we can on the go, but, you know, stick to the schedule that has been laid out for the review process.
So I think we're hearing if we can get you back in March, that will not delay your sketch plan review.
We're already behind.
No. You were behind when you applied.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of a variety of complications.
But in an attempt to give a little better guidance, I think you heard some interesting comments on instead of a straight facade on Wisconsin Avenue, there might be some latitude that would enhance the quote-unquote perceived setback issue on Wisconsin. Just sketching a few things, I think there's probably some options that you might want to explore in that.
Okay.
And, I mean, I think the vertical movement really is going to be dramatic, be very exciting, but it doesn't do a lot for the continuum, if you will. And so, just for what it's worth, it might be nice to explore that a little bit. And then the second thing is, I'm not convinced that you couldn't provide some light air between the southern building and your building on Wisconsin Avenue and enhance the spirit of the side yard setback. Just
I would look at those corners because those are opportunities.
Again, it's a fun project, but I think it's a tough project.
Well, it's a very big project because of the 25 affordable housing units that allow you to
5%
to build this.
A lot of units.
25%, right.
110 units.
Yeah.
And it's
significant.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is the Virginia Avenue idea might fit into that horizontal sculpting concept or this concept.
And can I offer a comment just from the amateur side? If we had come in with a project that included the JBG buildings with this all together, would we have the same comments about the passageway, et cetera?
Yeah. So it would become more like
you had a more specific comment.
72 Wisconsin, which was all one site, but it was three distinct towers.
Okay.
You would have had more flexibility, frankly.
Yeah. Well, we would have, yeah. But
and you probably would have wanted to create that line there yourself.
But, Georgia, we're taking advantage of some of the facilities, opportunities that JBG provided. That's what we're trying to do, expose them to that.
On Woodlawn, no question.
Yeah, Woodlawn. Yeah.
Okay.
Works.
Yeah.
Wisconsin is.
Well, I didn't like this building anyways, that's right.
So, as we try to wrap up, then, you will see any red flags in these folks at least getting the 10 required public benefit points for exceptional design?
For me, yeah. Because until we see that they can meet the guidelines, yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts?
Well, I think we're hoping that before we have to actually issue any written comments for the board, that there will be another meeting in March, and that will then generate the official comments because of the board. Is that accurate?
Yes, I think that's accurate.
And we can, I mean, staff can work with that in terms of moving the other pieces forward and backfilling as needed.
So then I will summarize the comments here, and we will plan to have another meeting in March, but I will send them around, and there will be an audio recording.
When is that date in March again?
It's March 21st. It's a Wednesday. And we'll just have to try to get you in the afternoon. If somebody falls off the schedule, also we can get you in.